Today we are going to continue with this. Essentially, it's a Bible study prepared for leaders in Latin America, and prepared by something called Timothy Project, and have prepared some sermons alongside this Bible study, essentials to grow in the spiritual life. You remember the first one? What is the first essential? A life of praise, then a life of prayer, and we read about a daily communion with God, then we learned about suffering is part of our Christian journey, but hope at the same time, and we have about joy. And today we are going to reflect upon another psalm, Psalm 139. This is a wonderful psalm, and this evening we are going to be reflecting upon about the all-knowing God, and this is our what I intend to do this evening, the all-knowing God. Let's read it together, one verse from Psalm 139 before we pray, and shall we read it together? Just one verse. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. Psalm 139, verse 4. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. Today we'll be reflecting about the all-knowing God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to spend this half an hour or so in this place, in your house, Lord. We want to know more about you, Lord. We pray that may your Holy Spirit help us to learn what you have prepared for us to learn this evening. Father, we invite you into our meeting. Thank you for the time we spent in worship and prayer. Now we pray that you can be with us as we read your word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Are you okay, or the volume is too high? I sense that we have some kind of echo going on. Are you okay there? Okay? That's it. Oh. We have some noise outside. I wouldn't want that as well to interrupt. Psalm 139 is not always being a Christian. Is that easy for you? Jesus says no. In the book of Mark, chapter 8, he says, if you want to follow me, take up your cross. Follow me. In John 16, verse 35, they say the world is an awful place. But don't worry, I have overcome. That's the reality. That's what Jesus said. Now, the Apostle Paul as well tells us, but we live in a hostile world, and there are times when we may be deeply dissatisfied, even with our own spiritual life. Are you satisfied with your own spiritual life? Sometimes we can struggle. That's the reality. The psalmist here reminds us that we need to be reminded about our resources. And that's this psalm all about it. We need to be reminded about our resources. Like David, we must have a big picture of God so that we can realize afresh all that he longs to give us. All that is there for us. And then when we study the word of God, when we have relationship with him, something has to happen. And that's the reality. This psalm, the theology, is about being close to God. It's about the closeness to God. When you read this beautiful psalm, that is all about. And the theology here is that the first six verses is dealing with the omniscience of God. He knows everything. Last time we reflect about the attributes of God. Now in verses 7 to 10 is about the omnipresence of God. He is everywhere. And now verse 12 about his omnipotence. But the whole psalm is about the love of God. The whole psalm is about how he cares for me. He cares for you. He cares for everyone. He's going to be close to those who come to him. And sometimes we cannot perceive him but just by faith, but we need to stop and reflect. So in the Bible, in 1 Timothy, we learn that God is invisible. We cannot see him. 1 Timothy 6:16 says, who alone is immortal and who lives in an approachable light, who no one has seen. God is invisible. Sometimes we cannot. Well, we say, well, where is he? So when we're learning about the attributes of God, we can have that feeling that he is close to us. That is this psalm all about it. And now, in this familiar psalm, David is giving five vivid portraits of our uniquely great God. And that's what we are going to reflect upon very briefly this evening. He knows everything, the all-knowing God. And the first thing is that our all-knowing Lord is there all the time. Verse 1 to 4 says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. What a scary thing. He knows. Even the word, you go to see a friend and say, how are you? Yeah. And you are going to say something. You don't say it. God knows it. David speaks about God doing something in detail. God knows everything. Past, present, the future. It is easy for God to search us. David intends to show us how much God knows. He knows about our conduct, our behavior, our sins, but he cares about it. He cares about us. The knowledge of God is being deployed by him for our care. Do we need care? He knows it. Do we need comfort? He knows it. Do we need discipline? He knows it. Do we need wisdom? He knows it. He knows when we are hypocrites. He knows it. He makes me aware of him. And that's the conviction that we get from him because he knows. Verse 2, he said that he knows if we are living two lives. Sometimes in public, our lives are one way. In our homes, we are different. He knows it. Now, God's eyes upon us is on us because he loves us so much. It's not just he is trying to, he's like a police or a big brother watching. No, he knows everything, but he knows that in order for us to understand that he cares about us. And now, nothing, whatever is hidden from God, he knows exactly what we are and what we may be. He knew everything possible about David. That's what we read here. His leisure and activity, his trouble, his sleep, thinking, speaking, he knows everything. And in the Bible, we find that in the Old Testament, God knows everything, in the New Testament as well. Now, let me read an example about in the New Testament. If you have your Bible, well, we're not going to read the verses, but it's in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. How he knows and how he can care for us and how he cared for this particular character. So in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, we have the example of Peter. Peter is here and he witnessed a miraculous catch of fish. And now, what is it that Peter knew about the Lord? Well, maybe he heard the news that he is the Messiah because of Andrew, his brother. And now Jesus arrived there and he said, I want to use this boat. He wants to teach. He used the boat. And after he's done that, he says to Peter, let's go fishing. He said, no, we have been fishing the whole night. What is it that you are talking about? And then you know the story. If you read carefully, they go and he fish. It was plenty. And now he realized who he is. Peter says, verse 8 says, when Simon Peter saw this, you know, all this miracle, he fell at Jesus' knee and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Now, here is interesting because Peter, maybe now he knows that he's a sinner, but he doesn't know what Jesus knows. Jesus knows what Peter is going to be able to do in the future. And even when Peter was a coward, he left Jesus. He denied him, not one, not two, not three times. He reinstated, he said, come on, Peter, feed my lambs. Come on, Peter, feed my sheep. Come on, Peter, do what I am going to ask you. He recognized his potential. So what I'm trying to say this evening to you is that even when you know, well, I cannot make it. I feel so bad before your presence, Lord. I am a sinner. God can do something through you. He did it with Peter. He did it with David. He did it with Jonah. And we can go on and on and on. So when we struggle, remember that we have a God who knows everything. He knows that Peter preached that wonderful sermon that 3,000 people received the Lord in one go. Now, the second thing is here in this psalm is that he is our ever-present guy. Here we read about the care of God for his people. In my weaknesses, if I pray, God will not let me go too far. Peter was able to come back. Paul was able to be on track. His guidance is real. God has a will for your life. Verse 5 says, you hang me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. He has all the resources we need for his greatness. It's indescribable. So if you are struggling, if I am struggling, I know that my Lord is doing this. Come on, Freddy, you are going to be okay. Come on, James, you're going to be okay. Come on, Ian, you're going to be okay. Come on, Wendy. That picture, God is doing this. He wants to guide me. He wants to guide you. David knows that God wants to guide him. And you know what he says in verse 6? Such knowledge is too wonderful. For me, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. This is so high and so great. God dealing with his people. Sometimes we cannot understand what is it that this is happening to me. And have you realized that sometimes we go through tough times, and after a month or 2 years, God was all the time with me. All the time. That's what David said. This is wonderful. And he says, you can feel lonely on the eyes of the world, but we can say the Lord of Lords is directing my affairs. Oh, poor Freddy is going through that. Oh, poor Peter is going through that. God is directing your affairs and my affairs. And he says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Where? Well, he carries on with us. He said, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far sea of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Can we read verse 10 together? I love this verse. Shall we read it together? Verse 10. You know, this denotes his ownership on us, leading us. This speaks of Jesus Christ. Wherever I go, I know I depend on him. This is described here in Jesus says, go and preach the gospel to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be with you. Not only the first verse we read in verse 5 says, I'm going to lay your hand upon me. No, he says, I'm going to take your hand. I'm going to hold your hand. In verse 12 says, the darkness I know him. God can see even in the darkness. You are in a dark place today. God can see it. God knows. You can make it. God knows what he has prepared for you and for me. You know what? Because the third thing we read here in this psalm, in verses 13 to 16, is that we have a loving creator. For you created me, for you created my inmost being, You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your words are wonderful. I know that full well. God not only knows the bad scenario outside, he knows what is going on inside. Even there, when I was created, when you were formed, the development of the child in the mother's womb, he knows your genes, he knows your DNA, he knows your character. Let's reflect about that. Verse 15 says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. This is about the secret formation of the child. Deep down in the ground, God saw it all, directed all, determined everything. I was wonderfully made. He made me. He made you so beautiful. Contrary to what the world can say, we are a masterpiece. Or no. I am a masterpiece. So you. And you. Even when sometimes, sometimes you look at it and you want to change your nose, and you want to change your ear, you want to change your belly. Well, I need a little bit. But we are wonderfully made. That's what the psalmist is saying. And then, you know, that's the reason why we are to respect everyone. You know, if you see a person, that's God's creation. And then I know he loved me, and that's the reason why he made me the way I am. David is overwhelmed at the distinctive masterpiece of every human life. That's the reason why prejudice is a sin, like any other sin. When you have a prejudice against somebody else because the color of his or her skin, or because of the social status, that's a sin. You are going against a masterpiece from God. That's what David is saying. Our loving Creator makes us the way in a perfect and wonderful way. He says here in verse 13 and 14 and 15, you know, he made us. He knows what can damage us. He knows that we are capable, you know, and know how much better we could be. And you know what he said that we are to do? We are to keep his commandments. That's the way we love him. It was a good sermon yesterday. But it's not about just love and love and love and love and love. We are to keep his commandments. That's how we show God that we love him. That was the part missing. Keep my commandments if you love me, say Jesus. If I keep his commandments, I am able to love God with all my heart and love my neighbor. And the fire of the Holy Spirit will be at work. The fourth thing is that he is our incomparable teacher. Verse 17 says, how precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. All things work together for good. So God is trying to teach me something in his word. He said, you know, go this way. Don't do that. Oh, wait a minute, but that is old fashioned. I cannot do that. God said, hey, these are my thoughts. I want you to reflect upon these thoughts. So David said, how precious are your thoughts, God? How vast is the sum of them? And he goes, and in the next verse, we are to count them. They will outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. God inspired his children's thoughts about himself and about themselves, and especially about his deepest desire for us. How precious to me, the words here in verse 17 can be translated concerning me. How precious that God cares about Magnus, about Ian, about me, about Steve, about everyone. He wants the best for us. And even though we are going through very tough times, the Lord has a unique plan for you. That's what Jeremiah chapter 21 verse 11 says. I have plans. I don't know what are the plans of the Lord for you. But it's so sad that sometimes we feel, I feel depressed because nobody loves me. God loves you. And he wants to teach you the way you should go. David said, how precious to me are your thoughts. How precious to me is your word. I want to hold it. I want to respect it. I want to honor it. And then he says something that sometimes we don't want to talk about it. He is a righteous judge. That is what he says here. God has revealed majestic things about himself and mankind, yet there are those who willfully reject his message. And that's what we read in Psalm 139, verse 19. If you have your Bibles opened, he says in verse 19, if only you, God, will slay the wicked away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. There are people who don't care about God. Okay. You know what they do as well? Verse 20. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. They blaspheme against God. Who is God? Where is God? David knows that a holy and righteous God cannot ignore such rebellious people. But he knows that he will not only judge the wicked, he will judge himself. And he says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thought. God will judge the wicked, but he will judge us. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. This is what we read sometimes before communion. And now, the point here is this. God is all-knowing, but he is also all-forgiving. He can forgive us. And Charles Spurgeon says, in relation to this psalm, he says, righteousness is the way everlasting, because such a way even death itself shall not terminate. So, I know I cannot be right with God, but I can be declared righteous when I surrender my life to Jesus. There is no other way. So, the person who learns to live as God will have him or her to live will find death to be only a circumstance in his or her immortality. What a wonderful thing. We are going to die, but we know it's only another stage. Because one day, the Lord will lead us in the way everlasting. So David's heart needs to be searched, his thoughts exposed. That is what we need to do. Are we struggling spiritually? Let's ask the Lord to search our way. And David, his sin have to be identified. He says his steps have to be guided. He said, lead me, and his destiny secure, way everlasting. If we are to grow in the Christian life, this prayer is a reality. Every day we are to ask the Lord to search us. In this deeply intimate psalm, David praises the God who knows. And he wants to know him more. And he wants him to instruct him. He wants him to judge him. He wants him to correct him. As we grow in our spiritual life, may the Lord help us that we have a God who knows everything. And maybe, like Peter, we recognize that we are sinners. That we cannot hit that right level of holiness. The Lord knows you, and he loves you, and he's all forgiving. And he wants from us what David did. We need to ask, Lord, search my heart, know my heart, test me. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We have an all-knowing God who is an all-forgiving God. And he wants to use us for his glory. He used Peter in a powerful way. He wants to use you and me in a powerful way. Let us pray.